Well, to conclude our series on the various analogies of the Word of God that give us an illustration of some of the virtues and the value and the importance of the Word of God, let's read just three more examples, miscellaneous examples here. The first one's going to be found in James chapter 1, and verses 19 to 25, so if you'd like to turn there this morning. We'll consider here that the Word of God is like a mirror. So we need to kind of understand what that comparison's about. What about the Word of God is a mirror for us in the spiritual realm? James chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. We'll read through verse 25. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That verse alone is something we should all take to heart. It'll save us a lot of trouble, a lot of stress, a lot of conflict in life if we would follow that exhortation. Of course, what are we supposed to be swift to hear? The Word of God. Slow to speak? Well, what should we be slow to speak about? Our opinions, our wrath, our reaction. Slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Another good verse. You can get angry all you want at people and circumstances and situation, but your wrath won't really do anything except for maybe give you a little heartburn, or if not an ulcer. The wrath of man doesn't accomplish anything. God's wrath does, but yours doesn't. Verse 21. Therefore, since those things are true, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Not only that initial new birth, but the thought there can simply be to deliver you from problems that we cause ourselves by being too quick to speak, by being too quick to react rather than to consider what the Word of God says. But the Word of God, the implanted Word of God, is able to deliver your souls from many of those trials and heartaches that we don't have to go through. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we're hearing the word here this morning, aren't we? So now we become accountable. We're not just to hear it. It's good that we're here. This is part of God's instruction for us, is to assemble ourselves together so we can check that box off. That's good. We're here to hear the word of God, but that's not enough. Be doers of the word as well. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So the illustration here is that the Word of God is for us spiritually a mirror. It's like a mirror that shows us exactly how we look to God, how God sees us. We look into the Word of God and we can see how God sees us. We need to stop and think, are we presentable to God? We can often convince ourselves that we are in better spiritual condition than we really are, especially when we forget to look into the mirror. Once you get away from the Word of God and hearing it and reading it for yourself and meditating on it, it's amazing how quickly we can begin to justify our spiritual condition. We're okay. Well, are you really? Am I really? Look into the Word of God. Now, as you can tell, in the natural, I don't spend a lot of time in front of the mirror anymore. Now, when I had hair, I spent some time. But I don't spend a lot of time in front of the mirror anymore. And sometimes I notice I have 2 or 3 days that, you know, I shave every morning. And every now and then I'll get just the right angle and the right light, and I've got a big old patch of whiskers that I have missed for like 3 days because I didn't pay enough attention in the mirror. Need to take care of that, make sure I'm presentable. How much more is that true in the spiritual realm? Take time to look into the Word of God. Let it show you who you are and what needs to be adjusted, what needs to be surrendered to the Lord. Sometimes I go shopping with Christy and I look around at what some people are wearing, and I turn over to Christy and I say, do you think they even own a full-length mirror? If they did, you think you wouldn't go out like that. But I've also seen a lot of Christians whose spiritual condition is just as inappropriate. Their language, what they're doing, how they do it, their reactions. If you look in the mirror, you'll see that. Be slow to speak. Oh, but I wasn't slow to speak. Swift to hear. Oh, but I didn't take time to go to the Word of God. The Word of God is like a mirror for us, and we need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time examining ourselves and letting the Spirit of God examine us in the light of the Word of God. And in doing so, we'll begin to see areas where we need to surrender more. As long as we're in this life, now again, every day, I shave every day. There are things that we have to do on a daily basis, and we walk in this world, we live in this world, and if we don't spend time in the mirror, we're just going to get filthier and filthier and filthier, just being in this world. So it's a daily thing. Go into the Word of God. Let it examine you. In Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8, let's go there. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Are we attractive to the Lord? Only by looking into the mirror of the Word of God can you determine that in a way that agrees with God. Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. Now, a bride in the natural, do you think she might spend a little time in front of the mirror? She will, and she should. How much more? Those of us that desire to be the eternal partner of Jesus Christ, to rule and reign with Him, how much more should we get ready, prepare ourselves, stand in front of this mirror, and make sure that everything's in place, that we're ready to meet our bridegroom? And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Where do you think she learned about what was right and what was wrong? In the Word of God. Only in the Bible will you find God's standard for you to be presentable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul uses this same analogy here of a bride that we had in chapter 19 of Revelation. But here now we're going to see another analogy. Not only is the Word of God a mirror to see what needs to be washed, but the Word of God is also compared to water that has the power to remove the filth that we find in the mirror. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Again, we see this individual standing in front of the mirror, sees a smudge on the face. I need to take care of that. Takes the water and takes care of it. It really is that simple, that basic in the natural, but it is also that simple in the spiritual realm. But you got to do it. You can't just hear it. You can't just read it. You can't just listen about these things. You have to now take the Word of God that has shown you what needs to be adjusted in your life. Now you need to take that same Word and wash those things from your life, and cause you to be cleansed, to be pleasing to the Lord. The Word has power to expose and reveal ourselves to ourselves, but thank God it doesn't leave us there. It also gives us the instructions on how to do things differently, how not to play in the mud in the first place. When you look into His Word and the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, again, conviction is never pleasant, but don't resist it. Don't get angry. So many of God's people get angry when they're convicted, angry at God or angry at the instrument that gives them the Word of God that shows them their reflection. They get angry. Don't get angry. If you yield to that conviction and then apply the Word of God, you'll know the joy of walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's provision, there's protection, there's peace, there's guidance that you won't find outside of the will of God. And in this life, with all of its confusion, with all of its stress, with all of its conflicts, we need the peace of God. As the children of God, we need to be characterized by peace and joy, wisdom, but that only comes by applying the Word of God to our life as water. In 1 John 1, verses 9 and 10, here's a simple way to apply the water of the Word of God. When you look in the mirror and Holy Spirit convicts you of some attitude or action, then you go to this part of the Word of God. You take this water and you wash yourself. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, this is conditional. Too many Christians think that the grace of God is that God tolerates our sin and that living a life of sin and carnality in direct disobedience to the Word of God has no consequences because we're saved by grace and we're going to heaven anyway. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The grace of God saves us and keeps us eternally. But that same grace that saved us and keeps us, it also teaches us some things. It also is the water that washes our lives of sin and carnality that is so destructive to ourselves and to all of those around us. Paul, in teaching the Romans, he said, should we continue in sin because we live in grace? He said, that's foolish. No, of course not. We've died to sin. Why would we choose, now that we have a choice, why would we choose the filthiness and the destructiveness of sin when we have the ability to choose what's right in the sight of God and to enjoy all of its benefits that begin in this life and that reach its pinnacle in eternity? Be wise. Choose righteousness. But if we confess our sins, once we have fallen, when we've fallen short, when there's a smudge on our face when we look into the Word of God, what do? We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Word of God will do for you when you take it in and apply it. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. God is able to take us no matter where we have fallen. A lot of times when I preach about the importance of living a godly life, people think I'm a legalist. No, the only reason and the only way that I can live a life of godliness that pleases the Lord is by His favor, who enables me, by the Christ in me. That's the only way I have. There's nothing in me. Paul said, in my flesh there is nothing good. Nothing good dwells. And I need to understand that. But I also have the life of Christ in me, and He cannot sin. So I need to learn by His grace to yield to that life that was given to me. I didn't deserve it. He gave it to me. But by grace, I can live a life of godliness. I can do what He wants me to do. And even when I've fallen short of that, His grace will pick me up from there and says, if you'll recognize it, let's get back on the path. And those sins, Paul taught the Corinthians, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. What a privilege that is. You say, oh, Brother Doug, I can't be faithful, and I'd like to be in the bride of Christ, but I can't. That's just for old people that can't sin anymore. Anybody ever had that thought? But, I'm young, and I've got life and strength, and I need things I need to do, and I can't. So I'm not even going to try. But, saints, we can be everything God wants us to be if we will wash ourselves constantly, continually, in the Word of God. He'll pick you up when you fall, and He'll say, let's go on to my best. What a privilege that is that God's grace gives us. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16-17. This is the water of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, you did it wrong, for correction, here's how you do it, for instruction in righteousness, here's how you do it in the first place. Why? That we might be miserable and miss out on all the fun that there is? No. The Word of God will wash you of those things that are inappropriate for a child of God, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And faithfulness in the work of the Lord leads to a full inheritance and reward in eternity. As we become not only hearers of the Word, but doers, the Word cleanses us of the filth of the flesh and of the influence of the world. This is why it's important for us to constantly gather ourselves together to hear the Word of God proclaimed. It's why it's important for you to have a personal time of studying and meditating on the Word of God. And there are all kinds of different systems, and I never support one over another. Some people like to read the Bible through every year or every couple years. If that's what works for you to hide the Word in your heart, then you do that. Some people like to memorize a certain amount of Scripture. The point is, what you hear, obey. Sometimes it might be good just to read one verse in the morning and spend the rest of the day meditating. Lord, how does that really apply to my life? Help me to see what it means, who I am and who Jesus is. Let me look into that mirror, and then let me take that the water of the Word and apply it to my life in a way that honors you and transforms my life. But the important thing is to constantly immerse yourself in the Word of God. It's a mirror and it's water. Lastly, we'll consider the Word of God as gold or just riches in general. So let's go to Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. This tells us the value of the Word of God. If I would give someone a bar of gold today, would you accept that? Would you take it? If you're wise, you would. I would. You give me a bar of gold, I'll take it. Why? Because in this natural life, it has value. I can buy things with it. I can make my life more convenient. And gold, money, wealth in this life can also afford you a place of power, place of authority, just because you have wealth in this natural life. Well, let's see how the Word of God is compared to gold that lets us know that there's a wealth that goes beyond gold, that is far more valuable than gold, because this has to do with eternal things. The gold that you use to buy things today, the things that you buy with it, they're going to pass away. They're going to rot. You're going to leave them here when you're gone. And even the happiness that they promise at times, I'll buy this and this will be great. Well, kind of look at kids at Christmas, and when they get the present and the thing they ask for that year, they're just thrilled to death and they're jumping up and down. And then in a matter of 2 or 3 months, that thing is sitting in the closet collecting dust. They lose interest, or more often than not, it just breaks. That's what the things of this life, that's what gold will buy of the things of this life. They're not lasting. They're not durable. Even if they give you a moment or a period of joy and pleasantness, pleasure. But in Psalm 19, verse 7, we read this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. A number of comparisons here. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Again, there's the mirror and the water in that last verse. But the Word of God and its instruction and its judgment, its wisdom, is to be desired more than gold. Is that really how you look at the Bible? That it's that valuable? And again, I'm not talking about the book and the pages and the, I'm not talking about the devices that have, the electronic devices that have the Bible on it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Word of God that is spirit and in life. It's spirit and it's life. David, who wrote this psalm, he had a lot of gold. He had a lot of wealth in the natural. And yet he says over and over again in the Psalms that the Word has more value to him than all of those riches. And I believe that he meant it. We need to come to the place that that's true of us. Now, if that's true, then again, that means we're going to spend time and energy taking in the Word of God, aren't we? I mean, that's when you want to amass wealth in the natural, you've got to spend some time and energy in the things that are going to gain you that wealth. Got to go to work. That's true in the natural, but it's also true in the spiritual. It takes a little effort to begin to amass spiritual wealth, a knowledge of the Word of God. But not only a knowledge, because a knowledge alone just will make you arrogant, but a knowledge and an obedience to what the Word of God has revealed to be true. Psalm 119, verses 161 and 162. This must be our attitude towards the Bible. This is why we spend time in it, both publicly and privately. It takes a little effort. Psalm 119, verses 161 and 162. This gold will buy you protection, power, and wealth that will never end, that are eternal, because it's eternal. Psalm 119, 161. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. Stop and think about that. David had some conflict in this life. He had stress. He had people that hated him. In fact, he had people that wanted to kill him. Now, we all have issues in life, don't we? Conflicts. And they're not pleasant. And many people, when they find themselves in that situation, they begin to despair. They become angry. They become bitter. But what was David's response to that stress and conflict in his life? But my heart stands in awe of your word. The word that tells me all things work together for my good. Wow. Even this situation that I don't really care for? That's what he said. I stand in awe of your word, that if God be for me, who can be against me? I stand in awe of that. The God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who created everything from nothing, he's my protector. Nothing and no one can rob me of anything of any eternal value. That's always the context of these promises. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Is that your attitude toward the Bible? If it is, you're going to run to it. We all know the history of the gold rush and how those individuals sacrificed, families sacrificed everything just to go dig in the earth to find a little of that shiny gold. How much do we value the Word of God? How much time and energy do we put into storing it up in our hearts? Psalm 45, the bride of Christ will one day, those believers that will make up the bride of Christ, those Christians that will one day obtain to the highest place in glory, are right now adorning themselves with the gold of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus finds it very attractive. In Psalm 45, we have an illustration of that. Solomon and his wife, an illustration, a picture of that glorious reunion one day of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and his bride. Psalm 45, 9. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. And that day, the purest gold to be found was in Ophir. And so this queen is going to be adorned in gold. The word of God is going to characterize their life, obedience to that word. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. That's a tough one. So the king will greatly desire your beauty. Because he is your Lord, worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven once again in what? Gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you with gladness and rejoicing. They shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generation. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. If you want to have that place that's closest to Jesus, and I hope that that is your desire for one reason only, because you love Jesus Christ for what he did for you, for who he is. That's the only motive that's going to cause us to enter into this place. I love Jesus. And if you love Jesus and desire that place at his side, adorn yourself with the gold of the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Let it govern your life. Let it characterize who you are. Let's close with Acts 20, verse 32. The Apostle Paul's last words to the Ephesian elders were these in Acts 20 and verse 32. He felt this was the most important thing that they could hear from him. This is what he desired for them. This is what was going to prepare them for life and for eternity. And so he says in verse 32 of Acts 20, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all of those who are sanctified." Thank God for the gold of the Word of God.